Thank you. Good morning, Your Honor. My name is Cindy Peterson. I am here from the District of Montana on behalf of the United States today. There was an indigency here that supported the immediate seizure of Mr. Blood's laptop, and that indigent or that exigent circumstance continued until.
Let me ask you about the you're talking about special exigency, right?
Yes.
Let me ask you about that. I couldn't figure out what it was. It seemed like you've got two agents there. They both have cell phones. They've got the suspect's laptop in one of them has it in his lap. Why can't they just call the magistrate on one of their cell phones, say we'd like a search warrant, we have probable cause to believe there's child porn on this laptop that I'm holding right now. The reason we have probable cause is the defendant admitted that he has child porn on this laptop, and we found child porn on another computer the defendant uses, and we have downloads of child porn traced to the defendant. They wouldn't even have to say all that. All they'd have to say is he admitted there's child porn on the laptop. And then the magistrate says, well, I better swear you, and he swears him over the phone and records the statement and says, you have a warrant to search the contents of the laptop for child porn. Done. They've got a warrant. It's proper. It's all you need under the rule. So what's the exigency except getting home late for dinner?
Well, Your Honor, I believe that I agree with the court except for that a duplicate original had to have been prepared.
The rule doesn't say that, but even if the local custom or something required that, the Federal Rule of Criminal Procedure doesn't say that, but if it were required, that's not very time-consuming. I mean, what I just said, you could type that in about the same amount of time it took me to say it. It's not a big deal.
Your Honor, I think that could have happened and would have been a reasonable alternative. Certainly, if the agent did step out and contact the government to get the warrant.
Why does he even have to step out? It doesn't have to be secret.
Well, I think that there's two things in play here, Your Honor. First of all,
he could step out if he wants. He's got a cell phone.
Was this guy in custody?
He was not.
So what stops Mr. Blood from saying, nice talking to you, I'm taking my laptop and going home?
Nothing.
So that's really the exigency, isn't it?
It really is, Your Honor.
Well, wait, they could arrest him, though. They could say, well, you just admitted you've got child porn on this laptop, which was in your possession. You're under arrest.
But then you're stepping beyond into even once you start detaining him and keeping him there, you're taking even a greater step than what they did in this case.
So what? They've got the probable cause for arrest. What's the matter with taking a step?
Well, Your Honor, I believe that it was clear from the very beginning that the agents had no intention of arresting him. They wanted to verify his statements that, in fact, the computer, the laptop.
I had no intention of being on the bench at 9. I would rather have slept another hour, gotten here a little later. But I did it. Just because they didn't have any intention of arresting him. If he said, I want to take my laptop and go home now, I don't see why they couldn't have done something contrary to what their intention was and busted him.
And then what? Then could they search him incident to the arrest?
Well, I don't believe that they could search the laptop, Your Honor, because that is more of a container.
Granted, could they seize the laptop at that point?
I believe that.
Let's just take Judge Kleinfeld's scenario for a second.
Okay.
The guy says, I have child porn on my laptop. Here it is. They then say, okay, you're under arrest. What do? Do they leave the laptop in the on the table, or do they take
it?
No, so they would seize the laptop in any event.
They would have, Your Honor, and I believe that the same set of circumstances would have unfolded the way that it did.
And they didn't search the laptop, did they?
They did not, which is very important. What they did
was they secured the laptop, and either they would have arrested him and secured it, or they secure it and he's not under arrest. Either way, it's in the agent's hands.
It is, Your Honor, and it's reasonable. I'm not saying that the agents could not have stepped out and obtained a telephonic warrant, or that there could have been an alternate scenario that could have happened. It would have been reasonable to do that. But what is at issue here is whether or not what they did was reasonable. And given the totality of the circumstances and everything that they had in front of them, an individual who had just admitted that he'd committed a crime, an individual who had admitted that he had previously destroyed evidence of the crime. They knew that the evidence was easily destructible in this particular case. And the court
only if the laptop is in his possession.
I'm sorry, Your Honor.
Only if it's only easily destructible if the laptop is in the defendant's possession. As long as one way or another, either by consent or by inventory of personal effects after an arrest or by a seizure pursuant to a warrant, as soon as one way or another they get it out of his possession, what's on it is safe.
And that's why they had to seize it right then and there, right when he turned it over, given everything that they had in front of them at the time.
I don't have any problem with your argument that they needed to take it right there to prevent destruction of evidence. What I'm having a problem with is doing it without running it by a magistrate.
And again, Judge, that would have been a reasonable alternative. But what we have to look at is whether or not what they did in this case is reasonable. And it's the government's argument that it was. They basically had consent in about an hour.
I understand that, but they didn't have consent when they took it. Tell me, where is the source of what you said about how they need to do some kind of paperwork on a telephonic search warrant?
Your Honor, it's the rule, and the rule, I believe, specifically talks about reading the warrant. Now, I'm not talking about the affidavit or the application, Your Honor, but the rule references reading a verbatim copy of the search warrant.
When you say the rule, I'm looking at Rule 41E3. Am I looking at the right rule?
Yes.
Okay, 41E3. I see what you're saying. Prepare. Okay, I understand now what you're saying.
And so, you know, they could not just throw that part of it out the window. And I'm.
What is the problem with that part?
With the part that they.
You're saying they'd have to prepare a proposed duplicate original, so something would subsequently have to be given on paper.
They did. Yes.
Why is that a problem?
Well, it's not that it's a problem, Your Honor, but it would have taken the same amount of time that it took them to get consent. So that's what makes this reasonable. They ended up having consent in about an hour after the conclusion of the interview. And it's the government's position that consent was received in the same time or about the same time that it would have taken them to get the telephonic search warrant. And that's what makes what the officer did in this case reasonable. There may have been other reasonable options, absolutely, but that doesn't make what he did here unreasonable given everything that he had to work with, everything that he knew in this particular case.
Do you want to reserve your 2 minutes?
I do, Your Honor. Thank you.
Good morning. I'm John Rhodes from the Missoula Office of the Federal Defenders of Montana. I represent Giovanni Blood. The government appears to be arguing that as long as whatever agents do is reasonable, that supplants the warrant requirement in an overarching position that defies the Fourth Amendment. With respect to...
I'd like to ask you a question about something in your brief, if I might, Mr. Rhodes. I'm talking to page 30, last line, last sentence. Got it handy?
Yes.
Says the government overlooks a crucial, indisputable fact established by its own case agent. The agent possessed the laptop computer, not Mr. Blood.
Correct, Your Honor.
So it seems to me what you're saying is that they were within their rights to have been in possession, to have seized the computer, and therefore there was no basis to search any further.
What the agents told Mr. Blood, we have to take that computer. You have to give it to us. They took it from him, and they secured it.
Yeah, what's wrong with that?
There's nothing wrong with that.
Okay, well, that's the seizure. They've secured the computer. They didn't search it, but they seized it.
And at that point...
And if you say there's nothing wrong with that, it seems to me that's the ball game for you, isn't it? Because they didn't search it until they got consent.
Well, this consent was tainted, but the law is
tainted
clear.
Tainted by what?
It was not voluntary and knowing because the agents told Mr. Budd. Excuse me, Your Honor, go ahead.
You just, if you buy the premise that they had the right to seize it, to secure it, then I don't see how anything else after that is tainted. If it's not a valid seizure, I get the taint. If it's a valid seizure, I don't get the taint.
I prefer the word secure because seizure obviously is in the Fourth Amendment. Secure is what they did. They prevented Mr. Blood from, as Your Honor suggested, being able to walk out of that police chief's office with the computer.
How did they secure it?
They took it from him.
That's not a seizure in your view?
It could be considered a seizure, but
okay, and you tell me there's nothing wrong with that.
Correct.
They didn't then search it.
What they should have done is got a warrant, and that's where the government seems to be saying, well, as long as it's reasonable in retrospect, the warrant requirement goes by the wayside. And the government said in its brief, and it repeated
it
today.
They said they have to get a warrant to search it. But you've just told me that they had the right to secure it, which you say is synonymous with seize it. So I'm not quite sure I get what they did wrong.
Well, they had to get a warrant to secure it. Sorry, to search it, Your Honor.
I don't understand something here. My concern was with the seizure, as you know, from the questions I asked. The question I was going to ask you is, how come my concerns aren't entirely obviated by this language in Licata? And it sounds as though you're conceding that my concerns about the seizure are entirely obviated by the language in Licata. The seizure is okay. Well, once the seizure is okay, the only thing that putatively tainted the consent was the seizure. And if the seizure is okay, there's no taint, you've got consent. I don't get what the problem is anymore.
Well, the problem is, as Your Honor identified in the questions to the government, is that the agents told Mr. Budd, we have to take this, you have to give it to us. They grabbed it from him, and at that point, the government has said
that the seizure is okay.
And it was okay to secure the computer while the government should then have gotten a search warrant. And it said
here's what I'm asking about, and I frankly have some trouble with this, but it's the law. Licata says, in holding, we agree that law enforcement authorities may make a warrantless seizure if they have probable cause to believe that a container holds contraband and the exigencies of the circumstances demand the seizure. I assume that that's why you conceded that the seizure was okay, because you had no choice.
Again, maybe I'm splitting hairs, but there were not exigent circumstances. Mr. Blood was not going to flee with the laptop.
Well, if they left it in his possession, then there would be. It takes a little bit longer to do a secure erase of a laptop than to flush dope down the toilet, but you can mess up the directory pretty quickly.
I don't think when there's two federal agents who are armed and Mr. Blood is a small person, that he was going to be able to overcome them physically in a police chief's office in the middle of a police station.
Well, if they let him take his laptop and go, he wouldn't have to overcome them. He could just stop at a Starbucks and do it.
But they had secured it, and that's where I'm saying that was, at that point, the law required the government to get a warrant. And the government said this morning it could have happened. It could have obtained a warrant. And the standard that's quoted in Judge Malloy's ruling, and the standard in this circuit, is that whenever the government claims exigent circumstances, it has to show that a warrant could not have been obtained in time.
But you never need a warrant if you have consent.
But the consent was tainted because when they told Mr. Blood, we have to take this. You have to.
Why does that taint the consent?
Because it's not knowing involuntary. When they're saying, we have to take this, you have no choice.
You're talking about the consent to search the computer.
The consent to take it at the time.
You've told us they had the right to secure it and to take it from him.
To secure the situation to obtain a warrant because there were no exigent
physically, let's make sure we're talking the same thing, okay? You're saying the agents had the right to take possession of his laptop so that he couldn't do any harm to it. Is that right?
Yes, they had the right to secure the laptop, and at that point, they should have obtained a warrant, which the government has said could have happened, and it didn't.
And they did get the warrant prior to examining the criminal contents.
No. They had a warrant to search his residence, which the government conceded in the district court was a bad warrant. This was a computer that was not at the residence, so it was not covered by the warrant the government had. And the government failed to get a telephonic warrant,
In answer to Judge Beezer's question, though, they got a written consent from him to search the laptop.
2 days later.
2 days later.
And that consent was tainted because they told Mr. Blood at the time they took the computer, you have to give it to us, you have no choice. And then later on when he was signing an evidence receipt, he said, do I have to do this? And they said something to the effect, you have no choice. And that was everyone's testimony. And so where the government's saying it could get a warrant and it didn't, that's in direct contravention of this court's law. And the idea that a telephonic warrant is all that difficult to get is ridiculous. They could have tried to call the magistrate, who literally was approximately 5 minutes away on the other side of the river in downtown Missoula. The idea that somehow preparing a duplicate warrant was too burdensome, your honors have seen many, many warrants. It's a one-page form document. The part that has to be filled in meets the particularity requirements of the Fourth Amendment. The place to be searched, the things to be seized. That's all the additional information the government had to provide. Again, they're in a police station. They probably have warrants there. If not, they talk to an AUSA. I'm sure the U.S. Attorney's Office has warrants, blank warrants, on its computer system. These are two federal agents. Yes, the lead agent lived in Kalispell. The other agent was an FBI agent who, again, has an office in downtown Missoula. And Rule 41 has been liberalized over the years. First, it said warrants can be obtained telephonically. Then in the 90s, it was amended so that warrants could be obtained using a fax machine. And then more recently, in the last decade, it's been amended so that warrants can be obtained using other electronic means. I assume that means cell phones, smartphones, emails, computers. It was easy to get a warrant, and the government made no effort. It said it could have gotten it, and the law says if you can get it, and it's not impractical, if you do not get it, the result is suppression. And again, I go to the point that the government seems to believe that as long as it's reasonable in hindsight, as long as the government acted in a respectable, methodical way, that somehow disposes of the warrant requirement.
I think they say the same thing you say, that they had the right to take it from him pending getting an authorization to search it.
And the authorization the law requires...
To search it, not to take it, to search it.
You both
agree that they had the right to take it.
To secure the situation, but to proceed in a Fourth Amendment fashion with the physical seizure, we are walking out with this computer with the intent of later having it forensically analyzed, is where the warrant requirement comes in. And the government simply just abdicated the warrant requirement. There's no evidence it was even considered. And again, this is, even though...
Your argument is if the defendant is misled as to what the law is, then even though he consents, and consent would ordinarily obviate the need for a warrant, his consent is tainted because of his misunderstanding of the law.
Well, the consent has to be knowing and voluntary. And here they said, basically, you have to do this. That's not knowing and voluntary, and that was a factual finding that certainly is not clearly erroneous.
Thank you very much, Mr. Rhodes.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Ms. Peterson, I think you have about 2 minutes left.
Thank you, Your Honor. Whether or not you use the word secure or the legal word seized, the laptop was seized in this particular case. Seizure occurs when there's some meaningful interference with an individual's possessory interest in that property, and there's no question that the agents seized it in the government's mind. They're arguing that they should have got a warrant, they didn't need a warrant in this case because they obtained consent. In terms of the argument that the consent was tainted, the appellee is referring to is the first discussion that occurred at the interview. The consent occurred later on, first telephonically an hour after the interview, and then it was reduced to writing. The court recently issued the Basher decision that talked about the totality of the circumstances and talked about the five reasons or the five ways that consents are voluntary. Not all of them are needed, but when you go through them, was the defendant in custody? No. Did the officers have guns drawn? No. Were Miranda warnings given? Yes. Was the defendant notified that he did not have a right to consent? Yes. Whether or not he was told that a search warrant could be obtained? No. Under the Basher factors, his consent in this case was voluntary. The search warrant was not needed because they ended up getting consent. And so that takes away from that requirement.
The adversary says he wasn't told he had a right not to consent. He was told he had to consent.
The record, but they're referring to the initial interview with regards to signing of the receipt when they said, I have to take this. That was not when consent was received, Your Honor. He was specifically told, and the record reflects, that before he signed that written consent, that he was told that that he had a right not to consent. And in fact, the court order actually references that at ER 169. Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you, Ms. Peterson. Mr. Rhodes, thank you too very much. The case just argued is submitted. Good morning.